Now, last week we looked at God's knowledge. This week we're going to look at God's wisdom. But what's the difference between the two? I remember sitting in school one day in physics class, and there's this girl in our year who was fantastically intelligent. She went to Oxford after she left school, but she was incredibly intelligent. We were sitting one day in physics, and we were discussing electricity and how metal conducts electricity. And she put up her hand and she said, "Sir, would it not be safer if the pins in a plug were made of plastic and not metal?" I thought to myself, yes, you might be intelligent, but you're not very wise. And we see that in other ways. There are people that we know that are very knowledgeable, but we wouldn't trust them to make a decision for us, because we wouldn't be sure they would point us in the right direction, because they're not wise. Because knowledge alone isn't enough. We need wisdom. And we looked last week at God's knowledge, and we saw that he knows all things, but God doesn't just know all things. There's more to him than that. He is wise. And the world we live in, the society we live in, we think it's great if people know a lot. And if you've got a lot of degrees, or masters, or doctorates, or a lot of letters after your name, people think you're great. A friend of a friend of mine also went to Oxford, and he studied classics, that's classical history and Greek and Latin and all of this sort of stuff. And he was going for an interview in London, and they asked him, "What use is your degree?" And he thought for a while and he said, "Well, I can say in Greek and Latin, the commander marched his men to the top of the hill and he marched them down again. But I don't know what use it is." And yet our world prizes knowledge. As I said, the more letters you can have after your name, the better. But God's word says, get wisdom. Whatever you do, get wisdom. Wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom, we read in Proverbs 4. Though it cost all you have. God's word prizes wisdom, because wisdom is prized by God, because God is wise. Well, what is wisdom? Wisdom, we could say, is using our knowledge to get the best and the greatest result by the best way. To get the best result by the best way. And that's what we're going to think about this morning. How God's wisdom gets the best result in the best way. And how that applies to our lives. And it's important. One writer, a man called Sinclair Ferguson, writes this: "Unless you become familiar with the wisdom of God, you cannot make much real progress in the Christian life. True stability over time will often depend on trusting that God is wise in everything he does and in all his dealings with his children." So this morning isn't just some theoretical, theological topic that we're doing just because we're doing it. This is a topic that we're looking at because it has great importance for our daily living. And there's three simple things that we want to learn this morning. First of all, your God, if you're a believer, your God is wise. Second thing, if you're a believer this morning, if you're a Christian, you can trust your God's wisdom. And then the third thing, you can have God's wisdom. That's where we're going this morning. First of all, your God is wise. In Romans 11, verse 33, the verse that we had picked as our memory verse, or the key verse for this topic, Paul writes, "Oh, the depth of the riches of the knowledge of the wisdom of God. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God." Comes at the end of chapter 11. And for 11 chapters, Paul has been explaining God's great plan of salvation. He's been explaining that every human being has a problem. He's been explaining that Jesus Christ is the solution to that problem. He's been explaining that those who put their faith in Jesus will be radically changed and transformed and will be made fit for heaven and will be taken to heaven. And as he comes to the end of it, he's amazed. And he bursts out with this great song of praise where he says, "Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out." That's his conclusion. God's wisdom is amazing. I want to show you something of its nature this morning. God's wisdom maps out the best result. We saw that wisdom is the best result by the best means, using all our knowledge to get the best result in any situation by the best method. Somebody did something like that, we would say they were wise. Some of you ladies, you hear that 20 relatives are coming to the house for tea. You think, "Oh, I don't have a huge, if I'd known they were coming, I would have bought in a lot of supplies." And you think, "What have I got?" And in the house, you use what you've got, and you manage to provide, with all your knowledge of and skills, you use what you've got to provide the best that you can. And people look and say, "You didn't know we were coming. Look what you've done. How wise. How gifted you are." The best result in the best way. Well, what is God's best result? Well, God's best result is that he is glorified. But how does he do that? Well, he does that by having happy people praising him. The best result for mankind, the best outcome for us as human beings, is that we can spend the longest possible time in the greatest possible pleasure. And God has a name for that. It's called heaven. And in that way, God gets great glory, because heaven will be filled with happy people praising him. And God's wisdom is to take men, women and young people and boys and girls to this place of intense joy and pleasure. But not only that, his wisdom is seen in the result that he is making us like the best person who has ever lived. He's making us like Jesus. So there's the best result: heaven and being made perfect. That's where we see God's wisdom going. His wisdom isn't just to make us happy in this world and that's it. He thinks bigger than that. He thinks beyond that. But not only is it the best result, but he goes about it the best way. And here we see God's wisdom in even more detail. How does he go about it? Does he take everyone there without exception? No, he doesn't. Because there are two great problems to overcome. First problem is that you and I are sinful. We're born sinful and we live sinful lives. And sinful people can't come into God's presence. And there's God's holiness. It won't allow sinful people to come into God's presence. And in God's character, there are two great interests. There's his holiness and justice, and there's his love and his mercy. And justice demands that sin is punished, but his mercy longs to pardon sinners and to love them. And how can those two things come together? How can, on the one hand, a sinful person come into the presence of a holy God? And then, how can God be holy and merciful at the same time? That's a problem that we would struggle to solve. God can't stop being merciful, and he can't stop being holy. So how can sinful people come into heaven? How can God reach his goal of there being perfect, glorious beings in heaven singing his praises? Well, here's a solution. And the solution is what caused Paul to burst out into this great song of praise. His solution is to provide a substitute. And in that substitute, God's justice will find satisfaction, wrath will be poured out, and mercy can be shown to the people who were substituted. But how can you have a substitute for each person who will go to heaven? How does that work? How can one person pay the penalty for millions of believers? Well, it's no ordinary person. It's someone who is of infinite value and infinite worth, so that justice really will be satisfied. This person will have to be more than a man. He must be God. And here's where we see God's wisdom, because God the Son takes on human form. And that's one reason why Jesus is described as the wisdom of God. Because that's where we see the solution to the problem of God's mercy, God's justice, and our sin and his wrath. And to solve the problem, Jesus had to be both God and man. Two natures in one person, and we can't get our heads around that. He's not half man and half God, he's all man and all God at the same time. And it's so wise that it's beyond our understanding. He had a nature to suffer for us, because he was man, but he had a nature that would earn our salvation, because he was God. He had a nature to sympathize with us, because he knew what we were going through, because he was man, but he had a nature to be victorious for us. What wisdom. What great wisdom. And in all of this, God manages to punish the sin without destroying you and me, the sinner. Not only that, but he frees us from the guilt of sin and frees us from the power of sin, because it's such a wise plan. And that's why Paul bursts into praise, because when he looks at the wisdom of God in salvation, he just says, look at the depths of it. I can't even get my mind round it. That's what we thought of at the start of our series on God. Every so often there will come a time when we'll think, I've grasped it. We need to say to ourselves, no, God's far more than I could ever grasp. And when it comes to understanding God's salvation, yes, it's simple enough for us to apply to our lives, but it's so rich that we have to say, God, you're amazing. Your wisdom is beyond us. Think about how it works out in our lives. Now, put yourself, if we could say this reverently, in God's place. Your great goal is to bring all sorts of people to heaven. And you look at the all sorts of people on this earth, and they're men, they're women, they're children, they're those who have a lot of education, they're those who haven't had that opportunity, and there are others who through some accident or through birth have a mental disability. How can you ask, what demand will you place on all of these people that they can all meet to satisfy you, so they can go to heaven? What does God do in his wisdom? He's picked the best way to get to the best goal. He doesn't demand that we all go on a pilgrimage to a certain place, and he doesn't demand that we all carry out a certain set of actions, and he doesn't demand that we live our lives to a certain standard, or he doesn't demand that we understand some colossal piece of truth. What does he demand? Just believe. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And it's so simple that a child can do it. And it's so wonderfully easy that my cousin Alan, who's mentally disabled, can do it. And you don't need to be a vastly intelligent person. You don't need a doctorate. Anyone can understand it. Isn't God wise? Isn't he wise and loving? Just trust, because all the work is done. God is wise. Your God is wise. And that means that God alone is wise. If wisdom is knowing the best way to the best goal, you can only have one best goal, can't you? And anything that is second best isn't the best. There can only be one best way to take. And to take the second best way, when you know the best way, is foolish. God's way only wise way, and every other way is foolish by comparison. And so when God says this is the way to heaven, the best goal, and this is the only way, to then think I've found another way is foolish. Because God alone is wise, and God alone knows, and God alone has said this is the only way. And when man thinks that he can get to heaven his way, and that God has been making it overly complicated by all this saviour substitute business, then it's not God who has been foolish, it's man that is being foolish. Because God's wisdom is the only wisdom that there is. God is wise. Second thing, how do we apply that practically? You can trust God's wisdom in every circumstance. You can trust God's wisdom in every circumstance in life. Not only has God got the best goal in mind for you as a Christian, not only has he got the best way to get that goal through Jesus Christ, but the actual pathway that he is taking you on through life is the best pathway for you. Because God is wise. And that's what wisdom is. And God's wisdom means four things for us. It means that there is nothing that he does that he could do any better. God's wisdom means that nothing he does could be done any better. God picks the best route for you. He sees the end from the beginning. He sees not only where you're going, but the best way for you to go there, so that your life will be made more and more Christ-like, and he takes you that way. And he always chooses what's best, and we need to let that truth sink into our lives, because there will be times when it doesn't seem like it. But that's because we don't know very much, and we're not very wise. Imagine that, well, for me, I don't have to imagine. Imagine you don't know anything about gardening. And imagine that you're looking out of the window at some great stately home with wonderful gardens. Flowers have been rich in their colour all season, and they're just wonderful. And then you see this man out in the garden, and he's dressed in shabby clothes, and he's there, and he's tearing the heads off flowers, and he's throwing them aside, and he's ripping things out, and he's removing all of these wonderful plants that have been so colourful. And once he's done that and carts them all away, he then backs in a trailer load of this foul-smelling, rank substance. And he takes a shovel or a grate, and he goes up onto the top, and he starts hurling this stinking manure out over the flower bed. And where once there had been these wonderful banks of flowers earlier in the year, and where once there had been this wonderful smell of all the scent of all the flowers, now there's not a bit of colour to be seen, but there's a foul stench in the garden. Think, what a foolish man. What's he doing? Does he know nothing? And we think he spoiled the garden. But when spring arrives, we look out the window again, and we see the vast array of colours, and we go out into the garden, and our senses are hit by the most wonderful selection of aromas and scents off the flowers, and we see the dazzling display. We think, no, he did know what he was doing. He did know what he was doing. God's wise, and he knows what he's doing. And his wisdom is perfect, and he never makes a mistake. And as you go through your life now, we need to take this truth and remind ourselves of it, because there will be times when we're standing looking out the window and the gardener seems to be making a mess of things. We need to know that he knows best. God's wisdom means that you don't have to worry in trying circumstances. Again, he knows best. He knows what's best. And he only takes us into a situation when he knows he's going to provide for us in that situation. God's wisdom, the third application, means that you can be content with who you are and where God has placed you. Many people spend a lot of time in their lives worrying and wishing that they were different, wishing they were someone else, wishing they were somewhere else. They look at other Christians maybe and they say, I wish I was more like them, I wish that God had given me their gifts. And here we need to realize that God has made me who I am for a good and wise reason. And that good and wise reason is for his glory and my good. God has made you who you are because he has a role for you. It's the same way that he has designed this world. If everywhere were mountains, where would we feed the cattle to produce milk? Where would we plant the grain for bread? And the same wisdom that God has in distributing the geography of the surface of the earth, he has in ordering the people of his kingdom. So God's wisdom means that we need to learn to be content with who we are and where God has placed us. That doesn't mean that we don't want to improve and to grow. But it means that we learn to grow where God has put us and who God has made us. Fourth application is that God's wisdom means that we're not going to understand everything. Those of you who are parents, you can remember, no doubt, or maybe it's still your experience, when children come to you and they say, but why? And you start to explain to them, and very soon you realise that they don't have the ability to grasp all of the reasoning and all of the thinking and all of the different factors that had to be weighed up to make the decision. They're going, but why? And you just have to say, look, you just have to trust Daddy in this one. You just have to trust Mummy in this one. Because we're wiser and we know more. God's wiser and he knows more than us. And there will be many, many things that we will never understand. And sometimes we will watch situations develop and we'll think that we could have done something better than God. But God, who's in control, never gets it wrong. His wisdom is infinite. His knowledge is complete. And our wisdom is tiny and our knowledge is minute. There's times we just need to trust our Heavenly Father because he knows what he's doing. You can trust God's wisdom. And then finally, you can have wisdom from God. If you're a believer today, you have this wisdom on offer to you. Not in all its vastness, but in specific situations for specific circumstances. God says, ask of me and I'll give it to you. We need wisdom to know how to bring up children. We need wisdom to know how to pick a job. We need wisdom to know what to do in difficult circumstances. We need wisdom to know what to do and how to give advice to people. And the great news is this morning, if you're a believer, Christ has bought for you the very thing you need most. Wisdom. James writes, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God generously all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. You know, no such promise is made to unbelievers. I'm sorry this morning, if you're not a Christian, you can't have that wisdom. You can't have God's wisdom because it's only offered to those who are believers. And although you may make decisions in life that appear wise, any decision that you make in life that leaves God out of it and forgets about eternity is not a wise decision. It's a foolish decision. If you're a believer this morning, God's wisdom is available to you. Now, where is it? How can you get it? Wisdom cries aloud, we're told. It's here. It's in God's word. And that means we need to take in God's word. And not just reading a verse or two a day, but really taking it in and turning it over in our minds and thinking about it and studying about it. Proverbs tells us that we're to seek wisdom as someone seeks for gold or for hidden treasure. Now, you don't seek for gold by going out and standing in a field and looking around. You find gold by digging and by hard effort. Same with God's word. A quick skim over a few verses here and there at the start of the day is not how we get wisdom. We've got to dig. We've got to engage our minds and think about what God is saying to us. We've got to store it up, not just for that day. So often believers go to the Bible to get a thought for the day from God. And that's all right, but we shouldn't stop there. We want to store up a reserve of God's wisdom in our minds so that in different circumstances at different times we know what to do. That's how we get wisdom. We get wisdom by spending time in God's Word with the God who is wise and asking Him to show us His wisdom. And we'll become wise as we do. Whatever else you do, get wisdom. Spend time with God in His Word, poring over it, seeking to learn what He's saying, and preparing yourself for situations. I was listening to an interview with one of my favourite authors, and he was asked, 20 years ago you wrote a book on suffering. In the last 5 years you have nearly lost your life twice through illness. Your wife has also nearly lost her life. Would you change anything that you wrote in the book about suffering now that you've suffered? And Don Carson said something extremely wise. He said, no, I wouldn't change a thing. He said, the reason I wrote the book was I knew that we all must suffer. And so 20 years ago I decided that I would prepare myself for that day when it would come. And I would find out what God's Word has to say on suffering. And so he didn't just look for God's Word to him for today, for that moment to get him through the day. He prepared himself. And so when suffering came, he was able to deal with it in a godly and in a wise manner, because he had stored up God's Word in his heart. And that's what we need to do. Whatever else you do, get wisdom. Because wisdom will enable you to cope with difficulty. Wisdom will enable you to live and walk with God. One writer says, with the goodness of God to desire our highest welfare, and the wisdom of God to plan it, and the power of God to achieve it, what do we lack? Surely we are the most favoured of all creatures. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom of God. How unsearchable His judgments and His paths beyond tracing out. Let's pray. In heaven, Your wisdom is beyond us. We struggle even to grasp in our heads what it means that Jesus was God and man in two distinct natures and one person forever. Father, we struggle to get our head round the idea of Him being a substitute for us and for lots of different people, because His sacrifice was of infinite value. Father, we struggle with so much in Your Word. And yet help us to lift our eyes from our lack of wisdom and to focus them much more on the presence of Your wisdom that is able to construct things so vast and so wondrous and yet so easy. A requirement is laid on us. Just believe. Father, we thank You for that. Father, we thank You that You did not demand that salvation be gained by those who have the ability to understand complex theology. Thank You that You just said, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Thank You, Lord, for that. Thank You that You said, repent and believe. Thank You for that. But Father, thank You that You did give us glimpses of the vastness of Your wisdom, so that we can look forward in life with confidence, knowing that whatever happens, it comes from the hand of a good and a wise God, who is taking us to the best destiny, by the best means, and by the best route. Thank You for that, Father. And thank You, Lord, that You don't hold on to Your wisdom and say, look at my wisdom, isn't it great? But thank You that You give it out freely and generously to all who ask. And I pray that we will be men and women who ask for it. Father, we pray for those today who You have given wisdom too in an earthly sense, and they can make good decisions, but yet all of their decisions are flawed by one fact, that they leave you out of all of their thinking. Father, help us see how foolish that is and how deadly. We ask it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.